Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Meet Sharon Hesney, who used to be a financial analyst.
I don't think anything on Wall Street prepared me to manage a classroom of teenagers. Absolutely nothing, okay?
Hesney gladly dumped her high-paying Wall Street job to teach critical thinking skills to high school students in the Boston Public Schools. Last year, she received a presidential award for excellence in math and science teaching, one of just a handful of teachers from urban districts to win the national award. Today we visit with her as part of our week-long series, Making an A-Plus Teacher. We stopped into her AP statistics class at the John D. O'Brien High School in Roxbury, where just days before the AP exam, she was asking the toughest of questions.
So the bottom survey is, what do you want for lunch? Okay? Okay. I'm making you sandwiches. So if you want ham, if you want vegetarian, whatever, write that down because I need to know. Okay?
Why does Hesney personally make and bag 20 or so lunches before the AP exam? Hunger. At the O'Brien, school lunch is free because so many students can't afford to pay. Also because feeding the body is important in feeding the mind, she says. Consider that before Hesney got to the O'Brien, she estimated something like 3 students had passed the AP stats test in the 5 years the school had offered the course. In the first year Hesney was there, 16 of her 21 students passed. Feeding her students was not something she had to think about before she came to Boston schools 4 years ago when she taught in the suburbs.
The really big difference is for most of my students, I'm the only one they're going to be getting information and learning mathematics from. They can't go home and ask their parents. They can't usually go home and ask brothers and sisters. No one is going to get them a tutor. So they either get it from me or they don't get it. And so that's the reason why they're after school a lot. That's why they come up before school. There's a lot of that interaction, and there's a lot less that you see in wealthier communities where parents have gone to college, for example. I doubt that 10% of my students have parents who went to college.
What are the factors that you just simply cannot control for because they happen outside the classroom? It's the life experience or the baggage, in some cases, the kids bring in.
So with students, all kinds of things can go on at home, and everything you read about in the newspapers happens to my students. Family situations, anything about safety, about housing, about food, about relationships can happen to all my students. There are an awful lot of things that are beyond the control of teachers. We only have control of what we teach, usually how we teach it, okay? But the other things are very determined on how well a student does. And it's a very big concern of mine because if we're going to be evaluating teachers on test scores, we have to understand that they don't really have control of everything that's going to go into those test scores.
So how do you deal with that?
You deal with what you have and you do the best you possibly can. But I've had cases, for example, where students have been out for one reason or another, and I have said to them, I've gotten up in front of them, I said, you know what? We're not going to be prepared for something we need on a particular day, and we really need to be there. So look, I'm going to be after school today, and I'm going to give you extra credit, and I'm going to give you brownies, okay? And at 2 o'clock, we're going to work from 2 o'clock to make up for that time, because there's no other way I can make up for it. The amount that students learn, to a certain extent, has to do with FaceTime. It's the number of minutes that you're with the student. And if that doesn't exist, if for whatever reason the students aren't there, they're not going to learn as much.
Sharon Hesney also extended FaceTime with students by pioneering a summer program at the O'Brien. The program requires all students who sign up for her AP Stats class to take part in an intensive week-long summer session where they work through the first chapters of the book before school even begins. This summer, the district is planning to implement that model for AP statistics courses in schools across Boston. On the day we visited, we watched Hesney teach several lessons, including one in which she got math students to think about ratios by getting them to estimate the height of an object they were all familiar with.
Who's been to the Statue of Liberty? Actually been on the island? Okay, who's seen the Statue of Liberty? I should see more hands. Okay.
She got the kids involved in the lesson by giving them the length of one of the statue's arms, They then measured their own arms and their heights and figured out the ratios from there. When Hesney talks about good teaching, she says stimulating her students and making it relevant is key, as is depth of knowledge. It's what she tells new teachers when she mentors them.
Certainly most math teachers will know the general mathematics of a high school student. But to be able to put your head where students are requires you to have an awful lot of understanding. So that's the first thing. The second thing is classroom management. You know, I always say, you know, look, if they're not listening, if it's not paying attention, if they can't hear you, if you can't hear the students, then stop. Because learning can't happen unless people are actually listening. But classroom management alone does not make a good teacher, okay? Everyone can be paying attention. They can all be on the same page. They can be writing exactly. That doesn't mean that learning is going on. And you have to understand the difference between that. That students can talk about their mathematics, write about their mathematics, explain in context. That's learning.
You've interacted over the years with a lot of your colleagues, some successful, maybe some not so successful. What do you think it is that the teachers who aren't successful aren't getting?
You know, we're all not successful in some way. You just heard two lessons that I did, and I can give you a list of things I did wrong in those two lessons. The most important thing is to be reflective. Think about what you did. What did you do well? What did you not do well? What do you have to change tomorrow? And what are you going to do differently when you teach the same thing next year?
So you're constantly evaluating what you've done and forever readjusting.
Yeah, and I'm readjusting right in the classroom. You saw it as I was teaching. And the other thing I'm thinking about is individually, student by student, what am I going to do for particular students tomorrow? Or who am I going to try to find in the hallway this afternoon or between classes and say, you know, gee, why don't you come in? Or, you know, let me give you this. It's not just on a classroom level that you're reflecting. You're reflecting on a student-by-student basis as well. And so when you're teaching 120 kids, that's a lot of kids to reflect on. But I always feel like, so if every day you hit a few more, then you're ahead of the game.
Sharon Hesney is a math teacher at the John D. O'Brien School, an exam school in Roxbury. Last year, she was one of two teachers in the state to receive the Presidential Award for Excellence in Math and Science Teaching. In the next hour of Morning Edition, we'll look at the team approach in mentoring great teachers.